We begin the current daf, Masechta Yevamos, is daf Kuf Yedal. We begin two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, on daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara reintroduces a topic that was shortly visited on the previous daf, which will then ultimately, at the end of the sugya, reintroduce our Mishnah again regarding a proof either way in this discussion of what's called Katan Eichel Nevelis, and if Besen is Mitzvah LaHafrish or not, which that means is if that is a minor is doing a prohibition, is it that others are responsible and mandating that they have to stop the minor from doing that transgression or not? And that is as it was introduced regarding a chareshes, a deaf mute, who's also in that category of like a katan, all those that don't have das, they're das intact, like an adult, where we said that what's the problem with having chareshes married to a kain, even if he's going to give a truma, what's the big deal? We don't have to stop the chareshes from doing an issur, which we ultimately said, you're right, it's for a different reason why the chareshes that's married to a kain doesn't need truma. It's because of the case when you have a pekachas married to a charesh, where then biblically she's not allowed to eat truma, and if she does, she's going to be violating a negative prohibition in the Torah. Now, now the Gemara says that the following incident, Rav Yitzchok bar Bisna, he lost the keys to the study hall, to the Beis Medrash, in the public domain on Shabbos. And that is, the keys were lost, and they're in the Rosh Hashanah. So you can't get the keys, because you can't carry in Rosh Hashanah in the public domain on Shabbos, but they have to get the study hall open. So Asla came to Rabbi Das, he came in front of Rabbi Das and told him his difficulty. Somebody said to Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisna, says, look, Zil, go, we continue on top of Kovid Dalmadal. Devar toli v'talia, take boys and girl, v'latai lohasim, and bring the boys and the girls to play over there. Now, it's on Shabbos. Now, d'yimashkechilahu, if they're going to find the keys, ma'islahu, they're going to bring it to you. Now, but you don't tell them, because you don't tell a minor to violate a prohibition, but just let them play and they'll bring it. So, alma kesavar, so you see that he held, katan eichel nevelis, that if a minor is eating something prohibited, that's a carcass, that's something not kosher, ain't bezin mitzvah l'afrishei, that bezin is not commanded to separate him, and to the contrary, even use that as an idea about, like, let them go ahead, and they'll bring it on their own. You don't have to stop them, and once they bring you the keys, then you'll be able to open up the study hall. So I think Gemara says, le'misayele, let's bring the following rice that seems to support this idea of repadas, that you don't have to stop a minor from doing prohibition, and therefore you could even set it up in a way that they'll do it, and you don't have to stop them. The Brisa says, Layama Adam Latinik, a person is not allowed to tell the child on Shabbos, Havali Maftiach, bring me the key through the Rosh Hashanah, through the public domain on Shabbos. Havali Chaisim, you're not allowed to tell them to bring me the seal. You're not allowed to tell a child to violate an Issa Dereisim. Ella Manicha Tedesh, what you could do is you leave him, and if he's, let's say, playing in the grass in the garden, he's tearing out flowers and stuff, or Manicha Zarek, or you could leave him throwing things, let's say throwing in Rosh Hashanah, which these are violations. It's okay, you can leave him, you don't have to stop him, you just can't tell him. So you see, like Rabbi Das had said, that he mitzvah l'afrishay. So then Amabai says, no, it's no raya from that brisa, because Toilish, the case when he was talking about you can leave him ripping out, is talking about ba'atzich in a nakib. It's talking about a flower pot that doesn't have a hole. Now, if it doesn't have a hole, really it's not drawing its nourishment from the ground, so it's not even really considered attached to the ground biblically. It's only rabbinically that it's considered planted. Moreover, Zoyrik was about Carmelis. The case with throwing was talking about in a Carmelis, which is only a rabbinically prohibited area to carry on Shabbos. With the Rabbanan, those two cases are rabbinic prohibitions that you don't have to stop, but there's no right to repudiate that even by a biblical prohibition, like carrying on Shasarabim, that you wouldn't have to stop a child. So the Moses Tashima coming here, arrived from Masechta the Shabbos, actually not like repudiate. That you see, you are mitzvah l'afrish, you have to stop a child who's violating an Issur d'oraisa. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, "Evi kachavim shabol lichbais." If a non-Jew is coming to extinguish a fire in a Jew's house, so ain omer lo kaveh. You cannot tell the non-Jew, the firefighter, come here, do me a favor, put out the fire, because that's what's called amir lakum. It's a rabbinic prohibition of telling a non-Jew to do something that's forbidden for you to do. But ve'al techaveh, you don't have to tell him, don't put out the fire. M'nei she'ein shviras aseilem, because what he does on Shabbos is not your responsibility. You just can't tell him. But his resting on Shabbos is not your responsibility. So you don't have to tell him not to. You just can't tell him to put it out. Whereas kadna b'lichbais, if a minor is coming to extinguish the fire, let's say you have a little child who sees the fire and says, oh, fire, I'm going to put it out. So you tell him, no, don't put it out. Because the responsibility of the child keeping Shabbos is your responsibility. And therefore, even if you're not telling him, even if he's coming to put it out, you have to stop him. So you see that mitzvah la'afrisha, you are commanded, you're not allowed to let them do a prohibition, even if you didn't tell them. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not a question on Rabbi Das. Because that case is talking about in Masechta Shabbos, bo'is al das aviv, when the child is doing it for the purpose of the father. In other words, the child's looking at his tati, and he sees that his father wants him to put it out, because the father's just standing there, and he's not telling him not to. So it's as if he's telling him to do it. Now, whereas by the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, where he lost his keys, he didn't tell them that he lost it there. They don't know anything about that he would like them to bring the keys back. He's just telling him, oh, you can come and play. And they find it, they'll bring it on their own. That's not oysal das of it. That's not doing it with the intention of an adult. They're doing it for themselves. And therefore, that actually would be permitted and you would not have to stop them. But when they're doing it for the adult, that's as if implicit, as if the adult's telling them, that's like telling them that's forbidden. And therefore, there's no right and not like Rabbi Das. But the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that is talking about when the one who's coming to put out the fire is doing it for the intention of the homeowner, well then, the kavasei gabei abet chavim, then what's with the case of the resha of that Mishnah, when the non-Jew is putting out the fire? The Isal Das Yisrael, so that would also be seemingly that he's doing it for the intention of the Jewish person, which is as if, and the homeowner is just standing there, it's as if implicitly as if he's telling him to do it. Mishari, is that permitted? To the contrary, you actually have to be moichi, you have to stop them, because you can't tell them to go ahead and do a malach on Shabbos. And that's like as if you're telling them, just like you're saying the same thing would be by the child. So I think Gemara says no, actually, because Aivikachav Madai did a nafshi of it. A non-Jew, he does it for selfish reasons. And that is, even if without the Jewish person knowing, the non-Jew is intending for his own pleasure, because he knows he's going to get paid somehow, he's going to get some type of reward. And therefore, it's fundamentally different than the child. The child is doing a das of it. That's forbidden, because it's as if the father is telling him to do it. But the non-Jew, it's not as implicit as if the Jew is telling him and that's forbidden, as if he's commanding. It's not Amir La'akim, because the non-Jew is doing it for himself. Because he always does things for himself, and that's why that's permitted, but the child is forbidden, again, not because it's Mitzvah La'afrishoy, but because it's Al-Das of. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof somewhere in this discussion, if Mitzvah or not. So Tarshim, I come here from the following Braisa that you don't have to separate him. And it is like Rippa Das. The Braisa says like this, Ben Chaver, the child of a Tamil Chacham, of someone that's scrupulous in the halachas of the Torah, Sharaga Leilich Eitzel Avi Imoy Am Ha'aretz, that his child goes to his grandfather, which is from his wife's side, his mother's father, who is an ignoramus, doesn't know, is not familiar with the halachas. So the Braisa says that you don't have to be concerned that maybe his grandfather, this Tamil Chacham's father-in-law, is feeding his son, meaning the grandfather's grandchild, things that are not properly tithed, even though he's an Am Ha'aretz and they don't know and they don't fulfill necessarily the halachas of Maisus. Moreover, if the father finds his child coming back from his grandfather with some produce, he doesn't have to go ahead and take it away from his child. He says, no, when you go to that grandfather, it's not necessarily kosher, you can't eat it. You don't have to tell him that. Obviously, that imitzov and afrishai. So the Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Yechanan b'tmai hekilu. Since these halachas of Am Ha'aretz, we don't know for sure that the Am Ha'aretz, it's what's called demai, which is demai. What is this? Because we're not sure if the Am Ha'aretz took up the appropriate tithes or not. So since it's only a suffix, so then a mitzvah la'afrisha. But if it was a definite iser, then of course you would be mitzvah la'afrisha. It's not a raya to Rabbi Das. Now that the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yechanan, wait a minute. Rabbi Yechanan just responded that b'demai hekilu, that truthfully is that normally you have to be ma'afrishim, but since it's demai, you don't have to. But it sounds like from Rabbi Yechanan all the time it's demai. The reason is because it's demai. Havada, but if it was definitely tevel, something for sure that was not tithed, Boyle Suri, that then he would have to tithe it and that you would have to separate your child from eating that. But V'am Rabbi Yechanan himself just said before, as we quoted, that Ba'is al Das Av. He said the only reason why you have to separate the child that wants to put out the fire is because he's doing it for his father. But if he's doing it for himself, then even when it's a definite Isser, like in putting out a fire, we said that you don't have to separate him and you're not commanded. That seems contradicting Rabbi Yechanan himself. On the one hand, he points out that generally you have to separate him, and it's only by demai they would make him. On the other hand, he points out that generally you don't have to separate him. It's only over there when he's doing a dasav that you have to. So which opinion does he hold? So the Gemara says, no, Ella, Rabbi Yechonon Svukim Misafkanet. Rabbi Yechonon was in doubt himself. Didn't know which side of this debate he holds like. Now, therefore, Koy Hacha, in the case when they wanted to prove that you have to be Mafreshim, which is by the case of the fire, it was Matri. He rejected that Raya. No, it's not a Raya. Maybe there it's different because he's Isa Das of him. Koy Hacha, when we're talking about over here, when we're saying that you don't have to be Mafreshim, he was Matri there also. He says that no. Maybe that's only by Demai that they're a Mekel. But by definition, maybe you have to. And therefore, he was on the fence. And that's why he was matre and he rejected the Raya either way, but it's not because he held either one, because they're obviously contradictory inferences. It's just that he wasn't sure, and he said that you can't bring a Raya either way. So the Gemara says, Toshama, come in here, let's try to bring another Raya from the following Braisa, Tura Pedas, that you don't have to be mafresh a child that's violating an Isser. The Braisa says, Ben Chaver Koyin, the son of a Talmud Chacham, that's also a Koyin. Shara Raga Lelech Eitzla Vi Imoy Koyin Am Arts, that this Kayan married a woman that was a Bas Kayan. So his son would go to his mother's father, to his father-in-law that was an ignoramus. Now, the Braisa says, now, he's a Kayan, but he's not so well-versed in halacha. Now, although he's getting truma from people, but he's not so careful, and the truma that he has might become tameh. Now, that the Braisa says, you don't have to be concerned that maybe he's feeding him truma tameh. Now, although that's actually a biblical violation to consume truma that the truma is tameh. As the Gemara said in Gimel of Beis, when it talks about in the pasuk of Psulei HaMakdashim regarding a carbon that became invalid, it says Bisharecha Teichlanu, you could eat it in your gates. Now on that, as the Gemara there explained regarding Psulei HaMakdashim, you could eat when the carbon that now is pasul and redeemed, that you could eat when it becomes tameh. As it says over there, Hatameh VaHatar, they could eat it together, even though the tameh made a tameh. But not in another case, which excludes truma, where it's forbidden biblically to eat when the truma itself is tameh. And yet still the Braisa says, Matzah b'yodei peiros, even if he comes back from his zaydi, and he has produce that's truma, that might be tameh, ein zakuk loy, he's not required to go take it away from his child. Obviously, like Rebbe does, even by biblical iser, that ein mitzvah l'afrishai. I think Gemara says, no, but truma drabbanan. We're talking about rabbinic truma, which obviously certain types of produce are only rabbinically mandated, and that's when he comes back from his grandfather, that the most it's going to be is, even if it's tameh, is going to be a rabbinic iser, because it's only truma drabbanan, so therefore ein mitzvah l'afrisha, but maybe, actually, by when it's iser deraisa, not like Rebbe does, maybe you would have to be mitzvah l'afrisha. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, let's continue trying to bring a raya like Rebbe does for the following braisa. Braisa says, Yoinik Tinik Vahailach, a child could continue nursing Me'oivedis Kechavim, from a non-Jewish woman, Ume Behemet Temeah, and from a non-kosher animal. Ve'enchoshin B'yoinik Shekets, we're not concerned to say that, what do you mean, he's nursing unkosher food? We're not concerned with that. And he could nurse from the non-kosher animal. But, V'loyach Lenu, but you can't go ahead and actively feed him with your hands something that's forbidden. For example, nevele, sutrefish, shkotz, mermasim, a dead animal carcass, an animal with a mortal defect, or non-kosher bugs, or those types of things, that you can't go ahead and feed him. But if he's nursing on his own, you don't have to stop him. And from all these things, a child, not only could he nurse if it's non-kosher or from a non-Jewish woman, he could even nurse on Shabbos. But an adult, it's forbidden. And that is moreover the actual issur of nursing from a non-kosher animal. And we learn that from as says gomel two times, as the Gemara says in first Pekim Sechs Becheres, for an adult it's usur, and it's also usur for an adult to actually nurse from an animal on Shabbos. Now Abishalim, he says, he says that our custom was that people would nurse, meaning they would suckle from an animal that's kosher on Yom Tov. But we're going to explain the Bryce in a second, but the Gemara says, Ketani Mia, but one thing we see from this Bryce is that in Chayshin, we're not concerned with the baby nursing from a non-kosher animal. Non-kosher milk is biblically prohibited, and yet still we see you don't have to separate him. So the Gemara says, it's not a right for Pidas. Hasam Mishum Sakana, there it's because if the child doesn't nurse, he's going to die from thirst, because it's a danger to his life. He has to nurse, and that's why we let it. But that's only because Sakonis Navashas. But generally, of course, you would have to separate him. So I think we're asking, Yahach Gadol Nami, why did the Braisa then say that a Gadol is forbidden? A Gadol also, when it's a danger to his life, should be able to violate that Isser. I think Gemara says, Gadol Bayi Umdana. An adult, an older child, you need to estimate and evaluate if he could last till Matzah Shabbos and then do it in a permitted way and not to nurse on Shabbos, and that is, as we're going to explain now, that is actual nursing if one does it in the normal way. That's a biblical prohibition of mefarik, of literally means unloading something from the place where it's grown, where it's a tailod, the derivative of dash, which is threshing. When you take it out of its husk, you're taking it out from where it grew. So someone that nurses, takes out the milk from the animal in the normal way, is actually an issa deraisa. So therefore on Shabbos, we wouldn't let the adult go ahead and nurse from the animal, because that's a biblical prohibition, and although it might be a danger to his life, there we wouldn't just say you can go ahead and do that. You would have to wait till Matzah Shabbos. In other words, you would have to evaluate if you could wait that long. Now, the Gemara asks, so why don't you say something with this child, where also you should say that you have to evaluate if you have to violate Issa D'Oraisa Mefarik on Shabbos by milking the cow. Maybe he could wait till Matzah Shabbos. I think Moses says, "Refuin the Barid of Yeshua, no stam tindik mesokin ezel chalav." Generally, a child, an infant, is considered danger to his life if he doesn't have his milk that he needs to have. And then we don't have to do any evaluations. He needs it. You do it on Shabbos, even though it's issa d'oraisa. And that's why there's a difference between a minor and adult, where adult you would have to evaluate. But again, there's no raya to rabba dust, because here it's a masakonis nafashis. But if it wasn't, then of course maybe we would say mitzvah lafrisha. Now the brayso that we quoted, Abishol Omer, he said, he said that although we said that a gadol cannot be yoinik on Shabbos because it's mefarik, but we would milk a kosher animal on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, hechadami, what exactly is the case? If it was talking about a case when it was danger to someone's life, he needs to have this milk. Why say only on Yom Tov, even on Shabbos, which is more stringent day, should be permitted to milk it also? And if there's no danger to life, well, then even Yom Tov should be forbidden, because you can't do any malachas on Yom Tov too. So the Gemara says, lo, you know, tzricha, it was necessary for Abishal's statement in the case of the ikat sara, when it was painful for someone. Sometimes milk is necessary for certain pains. Now, that was the situation. Now, b'ksavar mefarik, he holds that mefarik, which again is this derivative of threshing, of dash, is kalachar yadhu, that when you're doing it in a roundabout way, in a backwards type of a way, in other words, when someone actually nurses straight from the cow, that's a shinu, that's a deviation from how it's normally done. That's what's called kalachriyat, in the backhanded way. Instead of doing things with the regular hand, you do it backhanded. Now, that's only considered a rabbinic prohibition, because the way it's milked is usually one way. Now, you're nursing straight from the animal, that's not normally how it's done. Now, because it's kalachriyat, so Shabbos, there is the skila Shabbos, where if one was mefarik, if someone would actually do the milking with his hands, that would be a punishment of Mises Bezdin, of being stoned. So that's a stringent punishment. So Gazer Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan were Gazer, that even for actual nursing straight from the animal, which is definitely a deviation, it's not a biblical prohibition, the Rabbanan were the Gazer there also. But on Yom Tov, where even if someone were to do it by hand, it would only be the Isra Lav, only a negative prohibition. There's no Karas, there's no Skila if one does it on Yom Tov as it is on Shabbos. So the Gazer Rabbanan, their Rabbanan were not Gazer in the case of Yoinik, where as it is, there's only a negative prohibition. And then you're doing it with a klacharya, with a shinoi, with a deviation. There they were in geyser, and therefore that's what he said. But makam tsar, we would go ahead and we would nourish straight from the animal, but again, only on Yom Tov. So again, there's no raya. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya that actually, not like Rebbe does, that you have to be mafresh, a katan that's doing an iser. Tashema, bring a raya from the following pasuk, that the braisa says, loy soichlum, you should not eat them, as it says in the Yikra, ki sheketz him, because they're an abomination. Now, this is what's called a kray yisera. An extra pasuk is superfluous, because many times the Torah already tells you that you're not allowed to eat shrotzim. So what is this pasuk coming to say? So the Braisa says, what does it mean, lo yisachlum? It's to expound it and say, lo yisachilum. You should not give them to eat. What that means is, not just that you shouldn't eat, you shouldn't give them to eat, is lahazra agadol malakitam, it's to warn the adults regarding the minors, that not only should you not eat, you shouldn't have them eat. So my law, the Gemara says, isn't what the Bryce is saying in the Pasuk, the Amalahu loy soichlu, that the adults are telling the minors, don't eat. You have to stop them from eating non-kosher. So you see that mitzvah mil hafrisha. And the Gemara says, loy, no, it's not a contradiction to Rebbe Das. It means the loy lispu le biyadayim, it's what's called isus sviya. You now go ahead and feed it to them. When we're saying we're warning the adults and the minors, don't feed it to them. That you're not allowed to do. But to stop them if they're doing it on their own, that you don't have to do. Similarly, Tashemadik Mur says from the following braisa, similar type of a drasha. It says a pasuk of a yikra, kol nefesh mikem lo yisoichel dam. Any soul amongst you, the Jewish people, should not consume blood. Now, this is also superfluous, because many times the Torah warns regarding blood. So, and therefore the Brisa says, what the pasuk is coming to tell you, is more than just you cannot consume blood, lahazar hagadol makatanim, that kol nefesh means anybody, even the minor, the adults are warned regarding the minors. So my love, the Amri Luhu Leisaychel, what is the pasuk obviously coming to say, as the Brisa expounds, that the adults have to warn the children, don't eat blood. Say, see, mitzvah la'afrisha. And the Gemara says again, lo, no, the leilis will be dying. It's saying that you cannot go ahead and feed this blood to the child, but to stop them, you don't have to stop them. So again, Tashma, similarly, a third type of a raya. The Brisa says in the pasuk, in Vayikra, it says Emor, which says Emor el kahanim, that you should say to the kahanim, and it says Vamarta, and you should tell them. Now, why does it say two times tell them? Saying that there's two different tellings. Lahazir gedoyel malakatanim is that you have to tell the kahanim to be careful, but moreover, you have to tell them to be careful about their children that they shouldn't become tami. So, my love, demalu loyt tamu. Isn't it that obviously what it's saying is that the adults have to tell the children, be careful, there's tami there, don't go there. It's obviously mitzvah lafrish, right? Again, the Gemara says, "Lo, no, deloy letam lo bidayim." What it's saying is that they cannot be metame to actually push their kids into the cemetery to make them tame. That they're not allowed to do. That's the warning. But they don't have to separate them if they're going in their own. Now, the Gemara says mitzrichi. Now, it's seemingly that we have three of the same limud, which is lahazar gedol malkatanim, that the adults are warned regarding the minors. Now, the way we interpret according to Rebbe Das, it actually means that you can't do it to them. You can't be safil lehem biyadayim. But either way, you have three pesukim saying the same halacha. Why do we need all three of this? All three saying the same idea. So the message you need them. Diashmin and shkotzim. Had we only said the issa regarding the adults commanded on making sure that the minors don't eat this vermin, these non-kosher the bugs. Now again, according to what that means, Reb Pedas means not to feed it to them. Says we continue on Tamid Beis. Maybe there it's more stringent that the adults are warned regarding the minors, because even the size of a lentil, even a small amount, which is the size of what they transmit tumah is, that's the isser that they have. So that's a big stringency. So maybe over there we see it's such a stringent halacha, that's where we say that even the adults are commanded regarding the minors. Avodam, but regarding blood, the ad ikke revius, that the prohibition is only when you have at least a revius of blood, then emulai. Maybe we'd say it's not such a stringent halacha, and therefore the adults would not be commanded regarding the minor. That's where I have to say blood too. Now, v'yashmin the dam, had we said the case of blood, misham deka kars, it has a certain stringency because there's a punishment of kars for consuming it. And maybe that's why you have the isra of lahazir gedol makatan. Avas shratzim emulai, but regarding shratzim, maybe we'd say not, because there is no kars. That's where I have to say shratzim too. V'yashmin hanetarti, had we said only shratzim and dam, I would say misham disurin shav bekal, because they're universally surim to all the Jewish people. But tumah which only applies to kahanim, maybe would say it's not such a stringent halacha, and therefore it wouldn't have the halacha of lahazir gedol makatanim. That's where I have to say tumah too. Now, if yashmin the tumah, had we only said tumah, we would have thought to say kahanim shani, that kahanim are more stringent, and therefore they have the isra of lahazir gedol makatanim mishum deriba behen mitzvah siseres, because there's many more mitzvahs that kahanim have than other people, and therefore they're more stringent, and hence will have the additional isra of that the adults are warned regarding the children. Avahani imaloybe regarding dama and shratzim, we would say that there is no such answer. So tzricha, that's right, does it have all the three pesukim to tell us lahazak din lakatanim, again, whichever way you interpret, whether it means that the isra shviya or even the isra of being mitzubin lahafrishan. So again, there's no raya. So the more continuous tashma, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah, not like Rebbe Das, that tzarech lahafrishan, that you have to separate someone that doesn't have das, which we're always using the terminology of cotton, but the same thing would apply to cheresh, that you have to stop them from doing an isser. Because our Mishnah said, shnei achen, when you have two brothers, echet pekech, echet cheresh, one is fully competent, one is a deaf mute. Nisuin shtei achos pekeches, are married to two fully competent women. Meis cheresh ba pekeches. Now, if the deaf mute man that was married to the pekeches dies without any children, so mayas pekech ba pekeches, what does the pekech that's married to pekeches do? Since these two women are sisters, so teitzim mishum achayisisha. So the chareshes definitely gets removed. She doesn't even enter the parish of Yibum because it's the pekach's erva of achayisisha, because his marriage to his pekaches is a biblical marriage. So her sister, which is his brother's wife, is an erva of achayisisha. So there's no mitzvah yibum at all. Now meis pekach ba pekaches, but if the pekach married to the sister that was pekaches dies, Mayas the cheresh babakachas. What is the cheresh, the deaf mute that's married to the bakachas do? So on that, the Mishnah said, Moitzis ishto beget. So he has to divorce his wife with a get. And the reason, as we had explained this, was because his marriage is only rabbinic, because he's a cheresh. A cheresh's marriage is only rabbinic. Therefore, the biblical zika of her sister, meaning from his brother, died around their children, makes his wife biblically a chizakuka, which makes him forbidden to her. So he has to divorce her with a get. And his brother's wife is forbidden forever. Again, as we explained, because a cheresh can't do chalitza, and neither could he do yibim to her because he was at least somewhat rabbinically married to her sister, which makes her a nachis sister, so he can't do yibim and he can't do chalitza. She's forbidden. Now, on that, the Gemara concludes, Amai mitzis ishto beget. Why does he have to divorce his wife with a get? Tesiv gabe, let her stay married to him. He's a cheresh. A cheresh is like a minor, doesn't have all his das there, and therefore we're not concerned that he's being violating an isser of a chesukuku. Who cares? We don't have to stop him according to Rebbe Das. Obviously, you see that you have to be mafreshim. Nothing more says no. Mishum isur dida. That was because of the woman's isser. The woman in that case is a pekachas. She gets oinchin if he violates the isser. You're right. For him, we wouldn't care. We wouldn't have to stop him like Rebbe Das says. But she's a pekachas. So that's why he has to divorce her, not for him, but for her. Similarly, the Gemara says, Toshima, another attempt to bring a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said additionally, Shnei Achen Pekachin, if you have two fully competent brothers that are Nesun Shtei Achayis, that are married to two sisters, Achas Pekachas, one is a Pekachas, Achas Chareshas, one's a deaf mute. Meis Pekech Bal Chareshas, if the Pekech that's married to the Chareshas dies, so Mayasa Pekech Bal Pekachas, what is the brother that's married to the other sister that both of them are Pekachin, what do they do? So Teitzim Mishnah Machisisha, so she doesn't even enter the question at all because he has a biblical marriage to her sister and making all her sister, whether she's a Chareshas, Pekech, doesn't make a difference, into an Erva Machisisha, so that's how that resolves that question. But if Meis Pekech Bal Pekachas, but if the Pekech that's married to the Pekachas dies, Mayasa Bekech Bal Chareshes, what does now the Yavam, that's a Bekech, who's married to the Chareshes, what does he do? So the Mishnah said, Meitzis Ishto Beget. He has to divorce his wife with a get again, similar to like we explained before, because she's a Chareshes. So their marriage is only rabbinic. But the Zika that he's having from his brother, which is her sister, is biblical. And therefore, his wife is forbidden because of a Chizukukah, so he has to divorce her. And Ve'isha Tzalcha Bechalitza, and his brother's wife, he has to do Chalitza to, again, because he could do chalitza and she could receive chalitza because they're both pikchin, but he can't do yibim because on some level, his brother's wife, which is his wife's sister, is achayis ishta, at least rabbinically. Now, the question is, v'amai moitzis ishta beget, why does he have to divorce his wife for the get? Tesev gabei, let her stay married to him. Kata echon avelesu, she's a chareshes. Who cares that she's married to him and that she's achayis akuka? Who cares? So she's violating the isser? According to Rebbe Das, you don't have to stop that. That the Gemara says, Mishum Misura Didei. That's because of his violation. He can't stay married to her because he has a biblical Zika, and therefore she's forbidden because of this Achayis Akuka. And then she'll be Achayis Chalotasa, which again is forbidden, and that's why he has to divorce her, not because of her Issa, but because of his Issa. Second thing, Gemara attempts to bring a Raya, Amar Rabba Tashima, again from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Shnei Achen. If you have two brothers, Echad Cheresh, Echad Bekech, one's a deaf mute and one is fully competent. Nisun l'shtei achayis, were married to two sisters again. Achas pekachas v'achas chareshes. One's pekachas, one's chareshes. So the cheresh is married to the chareshes and the bekech is married to pekachas. So meis cheresh ba chareshes, if the deaf mute man married to the deaf mute woman dies without any children. So mayasa bekech ba pekachas, what does the fully competent brother who is married to the fully competent sister do? So again, as we said before, Teisa Mishum Achayis Ishtay, she's removed anyway. She doesn't enter the parish of Yibim because she's an heir of Achayis Ishtay because his marriage to his wife is a full-fledged Kedushin biblical and therefore her relatives are all forbidden. Now, Meis Bekech Bal Pekachas, but if the Bekech Bal Pekachas dies, Mayas Achersh Bal Chareshes, what does the deaf-mute man who's married to a deaf-mute woman do? So, Meis Ishtay Beget, as we said before, he has to divorce his wife with a get because they're only rabbinically married and the Zika is biblical. And his brother's wife is forbidden forever because he can't do chalitza because he's a cheresh, and he can't do yibim because, again, he was on some level married to her sister, and therefore she's forbidden forever. Now, the question is, but in this case, She doesn't have any Isser because she's a Chareshes. He doesn't have any Isser because he's a Cheresh. And yet, still we said he has to divorce her. Obviously, you see that a Katan or a Cheresh or a Charesh, or someone that doesn't have Das, Mitzvah Lafrisha, you have to separate them, and that's why he has to give a Ged. Because if he held like Rippa Das, why have to separate them? They're both children, they're both Cheresh and Chareshes. And therefore, what's the point of requiring a Ged? So Rav Shmaya says, no, it's no Raya to refute Rippa Das. And the reason for requiring get in that case is a gezeirah or been a concern mishum ataris yevama l'shuk, because then you might allow, they might come to permit the pikachas yevama to marry other people. And that is because if we say that the chareshes could maintain the marriage with the cheresh. Now people are not going to know the reason is because of this halach of katan oichal nevelis, because they're both not fully competent in their das and that's why they could stay married. No, people are going to think that it's because he's married to the sister, meaning his kedushin, albeit rabbinic, they're going to say that, that means to say there's no zika from the bekachas, her sister, and he's not being boil achaisuk kasai. It's actually because his marriage to this, the cheresh and cheresh's marriage, is mafki, is making it her, the yivam and achaisishta, she's not even a zakuk at all. Now, if they're going to come to say that, they're going to come to permit the sister to marry other people, like any achais isha that's exempt from yibam and from chalitza. Now, but the truth is actually that she is asala ilam, because she actually is biblically zakuk to him. It's only that we should allow it for them to stay married, because who cares that they're violating an isha, because we don't have to stop them like Rabbi Dass said. But yes, we do have to stop them, not for themselves, but because if we keep them married, people are going to think it's because their marriage is making them be able to stay together and thus removing the yivama. And then they're going to have the Yavama marry other people, which halachically is incorrect, because she would be a Yavama Lashok. She's still Zakuk to the Cheresh. But again, there's no Raya either way in this question about Rippa Das, if Katan Oichal Nevelis, if Bezdin and Mitzvah HaFrishay or not. Hanulah Cheresh, we shall return to you the 14th Perek of Masechtas Yavamas, Perek Cheresh. And with that, we begin the 15th Perek of Masechtas Yavamas, Perek Ha'isha Shalom. Where again there was a few parakim called Ha'isha, like, and this is similar to the previous parak, Ha'isha Rabbah, where it's again regarding a wife believed regarding this statement that her husband had died, and thus allowing her to remarry. So the Mishnah begins. Ha'isha Shaholcha Hiya Bailam Din Zayam. This is a little bit different than by Ha'isha Rabbah, where she had heard from testimony from others that her husband died. And there we spoke about that belief. Here we're talking about where she herself is saying the testimony. She and her husband went overseas. Now, the Mishnah sets the case. Shalom beinoy lebeino b'shalom ba'olam. If there's peace between the two of them, and there was peace in the world. Now, the importance of that is that this wasn't a time of warfare, of challenges. In other words, because if there was a time of cheirim where there was war in the world, then there's a concern of what's called bididami, meaning that she believes, she's conjecturing that, wait a second, I know there's dangerous things going on in that country now. He's gone for 1 month, 2 months. Most definitely, if he didn't come back, it's because they killed him. Now, but in this case, that's the Mishnah is setting the stage, that that's not the case. It's not a shas cheirim. And if she doesn't see him, that she's not going to assume that he's dead, because she'll be concerned about what's called kilkula. As we had learned in Perk Isha Rabba, Naf Pei Zayin Mabeis, that because if she marries someone else and her husband ultimately ends up coming back, she has to leave that husband, her first husband, is all these types of penalties, and therefore she wouldn't say Bididami. And therefore, regarding such a case where we have no reason to believe that she would make up something because she had a good relationship with him and there's peace in the world, so she's not going to be scared of making up things and assuming things because, must be, he died. So, above Amra, may spile, if she comes, when she went overseas with him, and she says, my husband died, so Tinasi, she's believed, and she can marry someone else. Similarly, if may spile, she says, my husband died without any children, Tisyab, she'll go ahead and do Yibim with her brother-in-law. However, the Mishnah says that if let's say one variable is changed from this previous case, let's say, Sholem b'noy l'beino u'muhammad ba'aylam. Let's say they had a good relationship, there was peace amongst them, but there was war in the world. As we explained before, then there's a concern of bididami, that she might start thinking and speculating because she's all worried, that she knows there's dangerous elements out there. Or katata beinoy lebeinah. Or let's say there was a feud, there was an argument between the two of them. And even if it's b'shalom ba'olam, even though there's peace in the world. Now, the concern was when they're fighting is because maybe she hates him so much that actually she's going to want to marry someone else so that she makes herself forbidden to him by having married someone else in the interim. So in that case, in those two cases, if a b'shalom amar meis b'alev, if she comes and says, my husband died, and in a madness, she's not believed. Again, the case of when they had a good relationship, but there's war in the world because she might be all frightened and assuming things which are not necessarily the case because of the Muhammad that's going on. And the other case, even though there's peace, but when they didn't have a good relationship, we're thinking that maybe she's only saying this because she doesn't want to have a relationship with him anymore. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he actually says, lo ilam in the menace. Actually, a woman is never believed when she comes and says, my husband's dead. Unless she comes crying and her clothing are torn and she comes and says over this story, then we believe her that her husband died. But if she just comes in and says, my husband's dead, we don't believe the woman. But they said to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. Achazu v'achazu tinasi. Whether she has torn clothing and she's crying or she's not, either way, she can go ahead and she is believed if you have shalom b'nayla b'nayla and shalom b'yayla. Now, Tana, we learned regarding the two variables that the Mishnah starts off with, shalom b'nayla b'nayla. The only reason why we said that there's peace in the world, we didn't have to specify that. It's only mishum de kaboy lemisne katata b'nayla b'nayla. Only because we wanted to say in the inverse that if there's a fight between the two of them, so we had to specify, oh, they were talking about that there's peace between them. And Tana Shalom Bailam, we only mentioned that there's peace in the world, again, Mishum de Kabay Lemis de Muhammad, because we wanted to mention, but if there's a war in the world, again, then she's not going to be believed. Now, Amar Rava, Rava comes to explain this halacha. My time with the Muhammad, what's the reason? If there's a war going on, we suddenly don't believe her. She wouldn't want to lie. She had a good relationship with her husband. She doesn't want to become usher to him if he's really still alive. So what's the reason she's not believed? So that the Gemara says, as we had alluded to this before, Mishum de Ami Bididami, because she starts thinking and speculating, and she's saying that if I didn't see him, must be that he's dead. Because Sulkadaita, she starts thinking, Bacholhani Diktol, from all the reports, the news that we're hearing about, all the people that died, who Paulet, you think he was saved? If he didn't come back in such a long time and he never contacted me, obviously he's dead, and she therefore comes to Bezdin and says, my husband's dead, where it might not be the case. Because as the Gemara explains, because even if imtim tzoloimar, even if you're going to say, kivin shalom b'nei l'bano, what do you mean? If they have a good relationship, there's peace between them, what do you mean? She's not going to start do what you're calling b'didami. Natra adechazia, she'll wait till she sees. But the reason why we don't say that is because zimnin demochu le begiro e berumcha, sometimes they're in a war zone. And they're throwing spears and they're throwing different projectiles and she's going to be free to stay there until he dies to see that he's really dead. Because they're throwing and they don't care who it throws on, civilians, people that are fighting, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore she's going to quickly run away. Although they have a good relationship, but she thought for sure he's dead. She saw that they're getting attacked and he even got pierced with different weapons. Now, so therefore that's what's called b'didami. And the truth is, v'ikad da'avid samtere. But there's a way that there are some that could dress a wound, v'choy, and they might live. And because of that, that's why she's not believed. Because although she's even maybe saw he got attacked, but she's not going to be able to wait to see that. So although they have a good relationship, since she's going to speculate and say, oh, he for sure died, it was a war zone, he was bleeding, and who knows what, doesn't make a difference because he could survive. And therefore we don't believe her for sure when she says that he died if it was a time of Muhammad. Now, some Rava Lameh, Rava thought to say that Rava in Einu Kemuhammad. A hunger, if there's a hunger and everyone, people are dying because of hunger, it's not the same as a war. Because to Lamer B'didami, she's not going to just speculate because it's not like people are shooting and fighting, although it's a hunger, but she survived and he didn't, but she's going to wait to see that he dies. Now, Hadamah Rava, however, Rava ended up retracting and they said, Rav and Hariyo Kamuchama, actually, a hunger is the same as a war and that we don't believe her if at the time of hunger she says her husband died. And that's because the Hida Asas Lakamei the Rav, it actually was from an incident that happened. There was a woman that came in front of Rava. Amar Leh, she said to him, Bali Meis Barav, my husband died in the hunger. Now, Amar Law, so Rava told her, and now his intention with this conversation was to test her, to actually catch her from her own words. He was setting her up to show her that she was just conjecturing and therefore she's not believed. Because he told her as follows, he said, Shap Ravata, you know, you were very smart, you did well. That at least you saved yourself. That although he was still alive, but you got out quickly. And the reason is because Would you think that with that little amount of sifted flour that you left him, the Shavas Kizklei Havachai, with that you left him, you think he would survive? It's so good that you got out, because although he wasn't even dead yet, but there was a hunger and you had to quickly escape, and you think with that little amount of flour he's going to survive? Of course he was going to die, and it for sure makes sense that he's dead. Now, Amrlei, so the woman said to him, oh, Mar Nami Yadu Dechi Agav Nolechai, you also get it. You also know that with that little amount that he would not have lived. Now, obviously, what we see from that is that even though it was a hunger, that there was an element of Bididami. And because of that story, Rabbi retracted and he said that obviously you see that even by a hunger, although it's not the same element of fear and running away as it is by a war, the same thing applies to hunger, that people just for sure imagine that for sure there's no way he could have survived, even though they didn't see them dead. And since they could survive, we don't believe the woman. Now actually, Hadam Rava, Rava ultimately retracted even more and he said, Ravin Grim Muhammad. Actually, he first thought it was better, then he thought it was the same, and he ultimately thought that a hunger is worse than a war. Because the il mochama, whereas by a wartime, ki amr meis baila b'mochama, when a woman says, my husband died in the war, hu delay mehamna, that's where she's not believed. Again, because of her conjecturing and thinking, oh, for sure the whole platoon died and for sure he's dead. Ha meis al mitasa mehamna, but at a wartime, if she says he died on his bed, she's believed because there's no element of bididami. There's no speculating because she's not. It's not about the war. He died at home. Nothing to do with that. So she's believed. But regarding a hunger, she's not believed until she says he was dead and I buried him. In other words, because by a war, that then you say that maybe he escaped and he ran away. But by a bed, there's no such an element. It wasn't about escaping from the war that she's imagining and speculating. There, he was on the dead. He was on his deathbed. She doesn't have to see him buried because she knows that he's going to die. Because that's nothing to do with the bididami. But by a hunger, the bididami applies even to his bed. Because she's thinking when she's leaving him, how is he going to survive? There's a hunger. Of course, he's not going to make it and he's on his deathbed. Now, that's not true because that's the whole element of Ravin where the person could survive, nothing to do, and the dummy is even on the bed, and hence, by the case of Ravin, it's even worse that if she says he was on this bed and he died, it's not true until she says, I actually buried him, which then for sure she knows that he was dead, only then would we believe her. Now, the Gemara continues, Mapoilis, if let's say the building collapsed on her husband, or there was some type of earthquake or some type of a storm that came and collapsed all the houses in the city and they all collapsed. So that the Gemara says, Harehu kamelchama, that's the same equivalent in halacha as a war. The Amar b'didam, because she'll be speculating and she'll say, everything collapsed, the building, everyone died, and for sure he's dead. And truthfully, maybe he survived. So that's the same as Muhammad, where we don't believe her. Similarly, Shiluach Nechashim Akravim, when there is snakes and scorpions killing people, Harein Kamuchama, it's the same thing as a war, because the Amr B'didami, again, she'll say, for sure he couldn't survive, there was all these snakes and scorpions over there, for sure he died, which is not necessarily the case, and therefore, again, we don't believe her. Deva, regarding a plague, when people die from an epidemic, Sa'amri La Harein Kamuchama, some say it's the same as a Mulchama, Va'amri La Inim Kamuchama, and some say that it's not like a war, as the Gemara explains. Amri la Rika Muhammad, there are those who say that it's like a war, because the Amr Bididami, again, she'll speculate, she'll say, oh, this plague, everybody died, and you came with, and who knows how many feet you were dead. So she'll speculate that he for sure died, which is not necessarily the case. The Amri la, and some say, Ein Amr Muhammad, no, it's not, actually not like a Muhammad, and she's not going to say Bididami, and if she's saying he's dead, it must be that she saw that he's dead, and therefore she's believed. Because the Samcha de Amri Inshi, because people rely on this that people say, in other words, there's no conjecturing by a plague, because people say, Shev Shnin Hava Meisner, for 7 years there was a plague, there was death, the Inish Palei Shnei Lo Yazal, and a man that if his years didn't come yet, he's not going to die. In other words, a plague is something where some people have, that they could live through it, and some people don't, depending on their health and whatnot, and therefore, people are not going to conjecture by a plague, and therefore she wouldn't say it, even there's no even but the dummy there, and therefore, actually, there are those that say the Devra is not like a Muhammad, and if she says that he died in a plague, must be that she saw, and therefore she's believed.